Good morning, and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. We are a community that is strong, globally connected, and based in spiritual principle. We are focused largely in the principles around science of mind and spirit, and new thought in its many forms, but more focused in the science of mind realm. Our language may be a little old-fashioned at times, but they are pointing you toward principles and education and a community that can change your life. So I invite you to consider joining us. I'm glad you're with us today and joining us in the future, where we always remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. So whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your spiritual life up until this point, whatever your psychological life up until this point, we welcome you and we salute you and we honor you. Because we know this life flowing through us, which is the life of God, is a life that can only be honored and celebrated. So however your individual version of that shows up, we are here to celebrate you and to offer you thoughtful ideas, and to invite you to engage every part of you, all of your mind, your intellect, your spiritual thinking, your awareness, your intuition, in looking for and growing a greater life of greater good, greater freedom, and greater joy. So to know more about us, listen now to our Declaration of Principle. I believe
in one God,
one absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love
and creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life
and the immortality of the individual soul
forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. So you heard now from some of our practitioners and board members about our Declaration of Principles. That is a small part of a much larger document that shares a bit more about what we believe and some of the basic core principles. What our classes and our talks are always about is expanding on those and bringing greater understanding and therefore greater accessibility to each person who's ever listening. Today we have a practitioner to share with us. A practitioner is someone who knows this teaching, who has experienced it in their own life in a very positive way, and who have been able to work with other folks to help them bring greater good through these principles. We license them as practitioners because they've demonstrated that they know how to do that and that they have gotten wonderful results for other people as well as themselves. And today we have the wonderful Barbara Guillory to share with us. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Dr. Bob, for those nice, kind words. You're always that person. Good morning, everyone. So glad I am here with you all. And of course, so glad you all are here with me. So this morning, the focus is on visualization. So I want to start sometimes it's a good thing just to say, hey, what is the meaning? So I looked up the meaning, visualization. And one of the meanings, representation of an object or situation or a set of circumstances. Another meaning, it's an act or process of interpreting in visual terms or putting into visual form. Visualization. It is the formation of a mental image of a thing. And that is the definition that is the closest to our teaching here at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. It reminds me of Ernest Holmes when he talks about mental equivalent. The mental equivalent must have the mental equivalent of the thing that you desire. We must have a mental equivalent of the thing we desire, meaning the use of visualization is how we can determine and come about the mental equivalent. So for me, I gave some thought to this, and visualization is the path on how the mind uses itself to bring about our desired goals, our desired success. Again, holding that mental equivalent in mind, as Ernest Holmes speaks about in the Science of Mind book. Another thought that came to me was the early use of visualization that we observe in children. So as children, we all have seen them just visualize these wonderful, magnificent friends that they have. And they are true to them. They are real to them. And of course, there are other stories that they come with as well. But during that time, oftentimes, the parents or guardian will say, oh, stop that. Oh, that's not good. Don't do that. And again, we come to know and understand the visualization process maybe is just not a good thing. We've gotten punished for it, reprimanded for it, and maybe have become fearful of this visualization process. But I want to encourage you to revisit the visualization process in your life today, but do so knowing that you have a disciplined mind today, totally different. What Ernest Holmes speaks about is holding the mental equivalent in mind under any circumstances, it has to manifest. So that is how we get to use this tool of visualization. When there's an undisciplined mind that does the visualization process, it's just as successful, but the outcome may not be what we want. And we often see this in society as today. Sometimes we make reference to this as mental illness or mental instability. But again, it is that thought that we hold in mind that creates the experience that you're able to observe. When we can discipline our minds, we can know without a doubt the visualization process will bring to us the very thing that we are holding in our mind, that we are visualizing for ourselves, that very image. If the desire is for health, wealth, love, creativity, prosperity, peace, there is nothing that can take that from us. So be mindful of how you use the tool, the visualization process, to bring into your life your desired experience. So right now, we're going to visualize for ourselves a mind of peace. And as we do, we come to know and recognize the wonderful universe as being magnificent, and everything is manifested from the oneness. I will speak in the first person simply because we are one. And as one, we all can experience the oneness, the magnificent, the universe, the substance in and of itself. And knowing that I am a manifested form, image, version of this magnificent, of this oneness, of this peace, of the divine itself, I can know without a doubt who I am. I can know without a doubt where it is that I come from. I can know without a doubt that I am manifested from the goodness, from the oneness, from the source within. And it is this very knowing of my substance, of my being, of my oneness, that I can share and co-create with the spirit the experience of peace. In creating this wonderful experience of peace, I can bring peace to myself. I can bring peace to any of my situation. I can bring peace into the world. I can bring peace into my family. I can bring peace to my universe. I can bring peace to my neighborhood. I can bring peace to any of the affairs that exist. It is this wonderful, beautiful knowing of the magnificent that I am grateful in knowing. And for this, I am thankful. And so it is.
Each month, we select a theme that is our theme for the whole month. This month, we are doing Practice What You Teach, which is a nice example of what we are bringing forward. It's not just about concepts, it's about practice. That's how we find success. That's how we change our lives. So to start us off with this month, we have Reverend Cynthia Paulson, an interfaith minister who is also very steeped in science of mind. And we are so glad to have her with us to share a talk this morning. And she'll be talking to us about the power of visualization. Thank you, Cynthia.
Good morning. Hello, April. It's so fun to be here on the first night of the month because, as Dr. Bob just told us, we've got a brand new theme. And I love that play on words. It's not practice what we preach because we don't really preach here. We teach. This is a teaching center based, as everyone knows, on the principles of science of mind. And as Dr. Bob just told us, what we mean by practice is spiritual practice. A lot of what we teach is about applying these principles by using spiritual practice in our daily lives. So for the next 5 Sundays in April, there's 5 weeks in April, 5 Sundays, we are going to explore a different spiritual practice each Sunday. So visualization is what I get to talk about today. Now, Barbara gave us a great definition, forming mental images in our mind with our imagination. So before I dive into what a great spiritual tool this is and why it works and give tips for how to use it to live our best lives, I thought we would just do one. We are going to do a visualization exercise together. Now, all you really have to do is listen. So whether you're here in the room or you're watching online at home, just relax and be comfortable in your seat. Release any tension that you're holding in your body. Maybe roll your shoulders back and just take a nice breath. And if you would, close your eyes. I want you to visualize and imagine that you're seated at a table, and on the table in front of you is a plate. On the plate is an apple. It can be any kind of apple. Make it your favorite kind. Is it a green apple or a red one? Look at the apple from all its sides. Pick it up in your hand and feel it. Turn it around. Look very closely at it. Observe its skin. Is it smooth or rough? Is it shiny? Are there any holes in it or bruises? Focus on the details. Now bring it up to your nose and smell the apple. Is it fragrant? Does it smell like it's ripe and delicious? Now set the apple down on the plate in front of you and pick up a knife and cut the apple in half. Observe the details. Can you smell it even more now? What color is the inside of your apple? Do you see any seeds? Is the color maybe beginning to darken already and change because of the air? Bring the piece of apple to your mouth and take a bite. Taste the apple in your mouth. Is it sweet, juicy, mushy, crunchy? Eat as much as you like. Now, open your eyes. Is anybody's mouth salivating? Yes, right? Isn't that so neat? Your mouth waters when you do this exercise and visualize something like this. Because you went there in your mind and imagined eating an apple, your body, in this case your mouth, doesn't know the difference. You had that physiological effect anyway, and your mouth watered even though you really didn't eat anything. Experimental psychologists have proven that the human nervous system cannot tell the difference between the actual experience and the experience that is imagined. That is why so many people use this spiritual practice of visualization. It's become quite popular with the Law of Attraction and the Secret book and the movie that came out several years ago. It's a spiritual practice based on the power and energy of the universe. There's a connection between the power of our mind and the outpicturing of our imagined, visualized thought. So it doesn't just apply to our salivating mouth. It applies to everything. The apple visualization is a great example because the result is fairly instant. Your mouth waters right away when you experience that effect as if you've actually eaten the apple. But we can use this visualization tool with anything in our lives, with our physical health, our abundance, our relationships, our material possessions, our jobs, and our general success and well-being. So I'm going to talk about some of the best ways and methods to visualize, tips and guidelines to follow, as if I know what I'm talking about. But the truth is that there are three main people who I've learned all this stuff from. Ernest Holmes, Neville Goddard, who, if you're not familiar with him, he was a New Thought author and lecturer, and Mike Dooley. Mike Dooley runs a website called tut.com. It's the Universe Talks is what it stands for, T-U-T, tut.com. And he sends out daily inspirational messages and is a great author and teacher about visualization and manifestation. So let's start with our founder, Ernest Holmes. Here is a bit of trivia for you. The word visualize only appears in the Science of Mind textbook 3 times, according to the concordance. And the word visualization never appears in the Science of Mind. He didn't really use the word visualization, but he did frequently write about the power of our imagination. And as Barbara told us too, he also liked that term mental equivalence. We know that when we are imagining, we are visualizing. So Ernest Holmes clearly understood the power of this practice. One of my favorite things that Ernest Holmes said about this subject, and oh great, got the quote up, is the possibility of life is inherent within the capacity to imagine what life is. It is not a question of failing or succeeding. It is simply a question of sticking to an idea until it becomes a tangible reality. I loved the way he phrased that, sticking to an idea until it becomes a reality. Because visualization is something you can do over and over again, you do stick to it and practice it, as opposed to saying a spiritual mind treatment where you say your words and you give thanks and you're done and you release it. So it's a little bit differently. Visualization can be done repetitively. And Ernest Holmes wrote about that, there must be purpose to our imagination. because it is that important and powerful. Our imagination, what we are thinking about and focused on in our mind, creates our reality. Now, Neville Goddard was a New Thought author and mystic whose books and lectures came out about 20 years after Ernest Holmes wrote The Science of Mind. Neville Goddard believed that our human imagination is God, our Christ consciousness. And I remember when I first read some of his books, I thought, this guy's really out there. But the more I read and the more I thought about it, the more it actually made sense. Because if you think about it, in the one consciousness of God, we know all things are possible. I think we all stand in agreement with that. But if I say, hold on a minute, guys, I'm going to go outside and flap my arms and fly around the building, I can't do that. We know that's not really possible. But it is possible in my imagination. I can imagine that I can do that. So from our human perspective, the only way that all things are possible is in our imagination. So I think Neville Goddard is right. Our imagination is the unlimited, all things are possible power of creation. Not that I think I'm going to go fly around the building. Neville suggested that the key to visualization is to feel yourself having, doing, or being whatever the thing is that you desire. When we claim our desires in our consciousness, when we lose ourselves in the feeling of being the thing we desire, that quality or experience will embody itself in our world. He suggested that we imagine specific dramas in our mind. That's what he called them, dramas. But they're really just imagined scenes. For instance, if there's a goal that you want to accomplish, you imagine that someone you know is congratulating you on completing your task. Hear their words complimenting you, telling you, great job, and feel their handshake or their hug. You make it so real in your imagination that you feel a response in your body. You feel as if you are in that moment of accomplishment. Another great thing Neville Goddard discussed is the importance of sleep, and really the time just before we fall asleep. Sleep is the natural state of the subconscious mind. So that last 5 minutes before we fall asleep is the best time to direct our thoughts and visualize our desires. Now, usually, we go to bed, and what do? We review the day's disappointments, don't we? We think about all the bad things that happened that day as we're falling asleep. Don't do that. What we should do instead is take that time to assume the feeling of our wish fulfilled. Now, you realize that we used to do this naturally as children. Like, remember when there was an event coming up? Like, for me, it was Christmas or my birthday or grandparents coming to visit or a vacation, and you couldn't wait for this thing. So you would go to bed at night and you couldn't sleep. So you would think about it and dream about it and try to imagine these things happening. And then the thing eventually came to pass. It's the same thing. Mike Dooley, as I said, is an author and entrepreneur who created Tut.com. And he made a documentary about visualization several years ago called Thoughts Become Things. And I highly recommend it. It's on Amazon Prime if you ever want to check it out. He tells fun, engaging stories from his life about using visualization to win awards, to obtain the job that he liked, to travel the world. And he gives guidelines for this practice. And there are things like only visualize once a day for no more than 5 to 10 minutes at a time. He says to imagine every detail by using your senses. So when you're imagining whatever this outcome is that you desire, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell? And of course, most importantly, how do you feel? He suggests you visualize with emotion, meaning feel the joy and happiness of your desire being received. You want your mind to know what it feels like so that we have the mental equivalent in place. He reminds us to put yourself in the picture when you're visualizing. So if you're visualizing, don't forget to see yourself in the scene that you're seeing. Don't just watch it unfold, be in it and be a part of it. He tells us to dwell on the end result. Don't concern yourself with the hows. He calls them the cursed hows. We don't have to visualize how we will obtain our desired result. That's not our concern and it's not our issue. We don't want to limit or restrict the universe with how we will get there. It's always going to be better than we could possibly imagine anyway. Now, lastly, he tells us, never imagine what you don't want. That means no thoughts of something you don't want to materialize. We can use the spiritual practice of visualization for anything. A lot of athletes use visualization because when athletes run their event or play their sport in their mind, the same muscles in their body fire in the same sequence as if they're running and performing in reality. Now, as we saw earlier, if you go there in the mind, you go there in the body. It's like extra practice for them, and they end up improving. Now, I have been visualizing something that has not happened yet. But I know that this is a community that supports me, and I know that you will celebrate with me when this demonstration happens. So I feel like it's okay to talk about this. I have been using visualization to help materialize my book. I have a manuscript that is being sent next week to be formatted, and it will be published in July. Big deal. I'm very excited about it. But I am visualizing actively getting the proof from the publisher and opening that envelope and seeing that cover and holding that book in my hands. And when I visualize this, I get tears of joy in my eyes because I know that's how I will feel. You guys remember Reverend Angela Harmon was here a couple months ago promoting her book, and we chatted, and she said publishing a book is like birthing a baby. And it is. You cry then too. So that is how excited and joyful I feel when I visualize that. So my question for you is, what puts tears of joy in your eyes? What can you use this spiritual practice tool to create? Maybe it's not a book for you. Maybe it's a new car. Maybe it's a house, a new job, a relationship, vibrant health. There is no limit. I do want to touch on visualizing health for a moment because that can be challenging. If you have a disease or an illness or you're experiencing symptoms and you're feeling lousy, you're sick. And it's kind of like saying, oh, well, just visualize and pretend you're not. That sounds like really insensitive advice. I have a friend who's, I want to be careful how I say this, I have a friend whose body is experiencing cancer right now. And every month she goes into, it's every few months, she goes into the magic tube and gets her scans to see how things are going. It's just the scariest thing ever. I truly hope that none of us ever have to deal with that. But visualization is one of the spiritual practices that I've been teaching her. She visualizes the scan results she wants to see. She writes the script of the report and imagines herself receiving it and reading it. And more importantly, she imagines vividly how she will feel when it says the tumors have shrunk however much or that she is now cancer-free. So there are ways to use visualization, even with something very scary like a health concern. And here's the last thing I want to share with you that we have to remember about visualization, and that is we do it all the time, whether we realize we're doing it or not. And we know that the law works even when we don't understand it or we're not conscious of our use of it. So when we are visualizing negative experiences and outcomes that we don't want, we get negative experiences and outcomes that we don't want. We often visualize problems and arguments. Have you ever planned a fight with somebody in your head? We've all done that, right? We visualize our fears, sometimes accidentally. Yesterday, I live in Rome about 2 hours from here, and yesterday it was really windy. We had gusts up to 40 miles an hour, And our backyard is surrounded by trees. We've got an empty lot behind us and next to us, and they're all trees. And I was sitting in my backyard watching the trees sway in the wind, and it was so beautiful. And I kid you not, I actually had this thought, wow, if that tree snapped and fell, it would land right in our pool. Like, I actually had that thought, and I caught myself right away. We have to be very aware of what we're imagining. If what you are visualizing isn't serving you, stop doing it. easier said than done. You can always replace them with new visualizations. Now, as a collective, humanity tends to visualize conflict in the world. How many of you actively spend time imagining and visualizing people living in harmony and peace? Probably not many of us. Why don't we do this? It's the easiest thing in the world to do. As you're falling asleep and imagining the life you want, remember to visualize the world you want to live in, the harmony, the love, and the peace. If we don't visualize what it can look like and be like, how will it ever happen? If we experience it in our mind, we are likely to experience it in our conditions. A lot of spiritual practice is work, but I feel like this one isn't. I think visualization is a lot of fun, and I have fun with it, and I hope that you guys have fun with it as well. So thank you very much for having me, guys. Appreciate it. And here comes Vance. Yay.
Coming. All right. Thank you, Reverend Cynthia. An awesome talk. And yes, it's in our thought, we can create whatever we want. So I'm here to talk about our prosperity, us all visualizing prosperous, full center here, huge attendance online. And with that, you can donate online at cslmidtown.org. You can use the QR code. If you're here in person, there's a basket in the back to put a donation in, and all those ways. You can set up a one-time donation or an ongoing donation, however that works for you. And if you will with me now, let's do our affirmation for prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And so now I've got a couple of announcements. We're looking for volunteers for a couple of things. One, to help set up the space here. The other one, on our tech team. So if you're technically inclined, we're looking for different people to help with the website, with social media, with the technology here at the service every week. So reach out to Dr. Bob. You can do that through the website. Come tell us in person, all those fun things. So if you're inclined to do that, let us know. And we are looking forward to growing our volunteer team for all of those things. So Dr. Bob will be back next week. So that will be good. And let's do our affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. Thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Have an awesome week, everybody.